It's a good idea for you to learn about NordProtect, an identity theft protection service you can trust. I've been looking into it, and I think you should too. NordProtect is built to help users safeguard their identity with advanced, automated features that work in the background 24/7, such as dark web monitoring, credit monitoring, and security alerts. NordProtect plans come with financial coverage across a wide range of threats, from identity theft to online fraud and scams, so their users are covered when it matters most. NordProtect is all-in-one identity theft protection that equips you with everything you need to keep your identity safe. NordProtect offers three types of plans: silver, gold, and platinum, so that every user can find the perfect fit for their budget. Getting started is simple. You just buy your plan and complete a quick setup. NordProtect comes with identity theft recovery and cyber extortion protection for your peace of mind. Get an exclusive 5% off on NordProtect plans. Go to nordprotect.com/investtalk and use the code investtalk at checkout. You can also find the link in the episode description. NordProtect.com/investtalk and use code investtalk.
On radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers, this is InvestTalk. Independent thinking, shared success. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial portfolio manager, Luke Guerrero.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to another episode of InvestTalk. I'm your host, Luke Guerrero, and I'm ready for this exciting Monday, December 8th, 2025. Why is it exciting? Well, there aren't many Mondays left in this year, meaning that now is the time to lock down. We're in the final stretch of 2025, and 2026 is right around the corner. This is also an exciting Monday because tomorrow is our newest, latest InvestTalk Wealth webinar. And because it's December, I think this webinar is very applicable for anybody out there listening. That's because it's called Year-End Tax Toolkit, RMD Planning, Tax Loss Harvesting, and Deferral Strategies. Anytime the year's ending, and really, it should be any time of the year, tax management should be an important part of your thinking, an important part of your portfolio. And so Justin and I are going to host this webinar. It is free. They are always free. You just got to go to investtalk.com and register. It's going to be tomorrow, Tuesday, December 9th, from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Pacific. We're excited about it. As always, we'll go through the topics, have a great Q&A. Should last about an hour. Can't wait to see you all there. Before we get to that, though, we do have some work to do yet again. We have plenty of topics to discuss, including an exciting focus point. Before we get to all that, before we get to today's market performance, this show is most focused on your finance and investment questions. So let's tackle our first caller question now.
Hello, I had a call about Warner Brothers with all this talk of them being sold. Just wondering if it is a good short-term investment to buy it at the price that it is as of today with a watch on it to see where it goes forward and then get out. Hope you can take my call. Thank you.
So Warner Brothers Discovery, ticker WBD, is a massive entertainment conglomerate, and it's been in the news recently for, well, a couple of reasons. One, Netflix announcing that they were acquiring the company after filing the winning bid. But Paramount popped in today and said, hold on a sec, we are going to offer an all-cash tender offer, a hostile bid at $30 a share. And because of the cost, because of that, the price on that offer, well, the board has a fiduciary duty to take it to its shareholders. It's also an all-cash offer. Typically, when the market believes that something, or rather when a deal comes about, a cash deal specifically, and the market thinks it has a high likelihood of commencing, you will see the cash price of that offer match the share price here. And you did see a bit of a pop here, 4.41%. But what this is telling me at $27.23 per share today is that the market is not convinced that this $30 per share bid is going to be to come about. Because when the market is convinced, well, then things tend to trade like cash. It happens all the time with mergers. And so the question for you is, because this is really not about Warner Brothers, the fundamentals of the company, anymore at all whatsoever. The thing that is going to drive this price until this mergers, until one of these mergers either completes or they both fall apart, is going to be the market betting on what's going to happen here. So for a long-term investor who's trying to decipher the value of a company, this, that, and the other, this is where you step away. Now, if you're trying to play this merger here, it becomes pretty clear. If you think that Warner Brothers Discovery is going to be bought by Paramount in this hostile takeover, great opportunity, trading 10% below, or you know, just roughly 10% below the offer price. If you think that part of the financing being led by Jared Kushner, son-in-law to the President of the United States, if that's going to help them close the deal instead of the deal that Netflix already had, great opportunity to buy here. But for me, playing mergers is really not what we tend to do here because that is one of the most unpredictable things to do. And so for most investors, I would recommend, given what could be a whipsaw of merger activity here, it's best to stay away from Warner Brothers Discovery. That is ticker WBD. Thanks for the call. We've got a lot of ground to cover in the next 45 minutes or so. So here's a little bit of what we have planned. My main focus point concerns a story that really affects each and every one of us. U.S. dollar volatility, the choppy path to stabilization in 2026. We'll examine the volatile 2026 forecast for the U.S. dollar, which Morgan Stanley predicts will decline to a 2021 low by mid-year before staging a significant rebound. Also, we got to cover a couple other show topics for you as well, including one of the diverging effects of what we're seeing in surveys versus what we're actually seeing about consumer spending. We'll also touch on another area of disruption that AI is looking towards, this time shopping. And should we have time at the end of the show, we'll touch on a story I didn't quite have some time to talk about on Friday. That's what bond investors are thinking of the likelihood of a Kevin Hassett Fed chair. We also have some voice bank calls ready to play, including one on Ipinge Inc., ticker PI, and another on Primoris Services Corporation, ticker PRIM, as well as some questions that came into the comment section of the InvestTalk YouTube channel. And of course, I welcome your finance and investment questions now or anytime throughout the show. We are going into a quick break, our first break. Please remember, you can call anytime and leave your questions on the InvestTalk voice bank. If you're listening via our live stream or on AM 1220 in Silicon Valley area, give me a call now at 888-99-CHART.
For the holidays, KPP Financial is excited to introduce a high-value, limited-time offer, the Holiday Estate Bundle. It's specifically designed to help new households quickly establish a solid foundation for their financial and personal legacies before the year ends. When you begin a financial relationship with KPP Financial and complete your onboarding by December 31st, 2025, you'll receive essential estate planning documents as an added benefit, and it's all powered by our trusted partner, Trust and Will. Learn more about the Holiday Estate Bundle now at investtalk.com, and while you're there, fill out a portfolio review to get started. And now the phone lines are open and waiting for your finance and investment questions, 888-99-CHART. As we head into the final weeks of 2025, now is a good time to get proactive. And you can do that by joining Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero for the upcoming InvestTalk Wealth Webinar. Mark your calendar for Tuesday, December 9th from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Pacific Time. The Wealth Webinar is free, but you must pre-register at investtalk.com. Hurry, the wealth webinar is tomorrow.
Let's talk a little bit about the market before we move further on in this program. U.S. stocks closing lower across the board and really not far from their worst levels. The Dow was down 45 basis points, S&P 500 down 35, NASDAQ down 14, Russell 2000 almost eking out a flat day, but down 2 basis points. Big tech as well, kind of leading the pack downward. Google and Tesla, some of the worst performers amongst that group. Other underperformers included HPCs, apparel, chemicals, home builders, managed care, and biotech. Tariff-exposed names struggling as well. Relative underperformers included semis, semi-caps, banks, rails, and investment banks. On the bond side, Treasury's a bit weaker across the curve, coming off of their worst midday levels, but yields were still up about 2 to 3 basis points. At the same time, the dollar index was up 10 basis points, gold finished down about 60 basis points, and crude oil settled down 2% after finishing above the $60 a barrel level on Friday for the first time since mid-November. Rates. That's really what it's all about this week. Bit of a rate backup. One of the bigger stories for today, as you know, it's expected, the consensus really is for a hawkish cut on Wednesday. A lot of AI headlines as well. You got some important earnings coming this week, some disruption upheaval news, some productivity stories. OpenAI claiming that workers are saving anywhere from 40 to 60 minutes a day using their tools. And of course, geopolitical news, right? NVIDIA allowed to sell their H200s to China, the administration lifting a restriction. M&A, another area of focus. We already got one question today on merger activity with Paramount's hostile bid for Warner Brothers, but really not the only sector that's been seeing heightened merger and acquisition moves. Not much macro data. The latest New York Fed survey of consumer expectations shows inflation expectations a bit unchanged across all time intervals. But adding to the labor market, expectations are improving slightly while perceptions of household financial situations deteriorated pretty notably. Again, this dichotomy that we'll be talking a little bit more about later in the show. Looking ahead to the rest of the week, pretty light, honestly, pretty light week. Tuesday will bring October JOLTS job openings and the NFIB Small Business Index. And again, the main point this week where we'll really be looking towards information on the path moving forward will be that Fed meeting on Wednesday. As you probably know by now, we receive listener questions from the comment section of our InvestTalk YouTube channel. And we do not discriminate over here in InvestTalk. We like to treat all questions as equally important. And we've recently revamped our YouTube channel. So why don't you go over there and check that out as well for some YouTube exclusive content. This question coming in about ticker AIPO. So let's plug this guy in right here. It's actually an ETF and it says, love this take. Don't know what the take was because I don't know what video this was on, but apparently this person loved it. Since I've been looking at ETFs to rebalance, I already have value with CGDV and international with AVDV. So I've been doing research on an industrial ETF tied to the AI buildout. AIPO, would love to hear your thoughts on AIPO. Well, it's a newer fund. It launched in July of 2025. So you can see history a bit sparse here. 3 month, the longest performance that it has. It's also rather small, $111 million market cap and a bit expensive as well, 69 basis points. Now, what this fund tries to do is focus on U.S. listed companies that generate a significant share of their revenue from AI and power infrastructure. So electrical grid companies, nuclear and battery tech companies, data center operating companies, and engineering firms for these energy AI-related data projects. They use a rules-based approach for screening, meaning that they're a bit of a quant-oriented fund. But the output of this, the output of their process, is about 53% industrials, 19.9% technology, 14% utilities. Over the past 3 months, they have returned 19.02% on a price basis, 18.6% when you take a look at their NAV. But let's dive right in here, right? This is a thematic investment vehicle, and about 75% large caps, 18% mid caps. They hold 56 names here, 56 names, familiar names, some names that we hold like Cameco, makes up about 4.46% of their portfolio. NVIDIA, Broadcom, Quanta, Vertiv, all names that have done very well because they are exposed to that AI theme. And they do have a bit of diversified exposure here. By having 53% of it in industrials, they're not necessarily as exposed to a drawdown because they don't have those heavy weights in those hyperscalers, right? You'd typically see with funds like this, their top holdings are NVIDIA, Microsoft, Meta. That's not really the case here. It seems to me like they're trying to play more V picks and shovels, like we talked about in our latest Invest Talk Wealth webinar about AI. And that's why they have Constellation Energy. That's why they have Bloom Energy. That's why they have GE and Cameco as some of their largest names. So I actually like the way this fund is playing it. But very expensive, 69 basis points for really just giving you U.S. large cap exposure. And a bit too new for my blood. So I like your idea. I like what you're trying to get to. But I don't think AIPO is exactly the right way to do it at just this moment. That is the Defense AI and Power Infrastructure ETF. Sorry, Defiance AI and Power Infrastructure. Ticker AIPO. Thanks for the call. Headed into a break. Still to come, my main focus point and more answers to your questions here on Invest Talk.
In the early days, Invest Talk was Jerry Klein and Steve Peasley. Now the torch has been passed and a new generation of hosts is on the job. Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero. So when you've got finance and investment questions, don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
U.S. dollar volatility. Is it going to be a choppy path in 2026? Now, the story of the next 12 months is shaping up to be a bit of a choppy ride, not really a straight line trend, with weakness first and a potential comeback later in 2026. Right now, the dollar index sits at around 100, but forecasts see a drifting downwards towards 99 by the second quarter of 2026, a level last seen in 2021. And that move lower, it's not really random. It's something that we've seen over the past year, and it's tied directly to expectations that U.S. growth cools and the Federal Reserve continues to cut interest rates into mid-year. Structurally, when the Fed eases policy, especially as if it's perceived as moving faster than any other major central bank, it reduces the relative yield advantage of holding dollars, which tends to pressure the currency. That's just structurally how things tend to work. Now, Morgan Stanley's base case calls for the Fed to continue to lower rates until they reach roughly 3 to 325, and they expect it to be about June, which is a pretty material step downward from where we've been in the post-hiking environment. Even if the Fed isn't aggressively slashing rates, the key for FX markets is the direction and the destination. Moving from uniquely high, which is what we've seen US rates be, towards something closer to the global pack would weaken the dollar's support. At the same time, a slower US growth patch in the first half of 2026 feeds a softer dollar narrative as investors start questioning how long this U.S. exceptionalism that has driven markets, this story, can hold. And then layer on top of things the labor market uncertainty and a shifting cast on the FOMC, and you introduce another element. And you introduce concern that future policy decisions could be a bit less predictable, which tends to weigh on sentiment towards the currency broadly. Now, that combination of rate cuts, softer growth, policy uncertainty that creates the backdrop for the projected slide from that 100 down to 94 on the dollar index into mid next year. But this is not a classic dollar doom story. It's more of a cyclical reset, followed by a possible reacceleration into the second half of the year. Because forecasts start to improve later in 2026, with the dollar index expected to claw its way back to around 100 by year end, and potentially set up for additional gains in 2027. For that turnaround to take hold, one of the first things to watch is growth data. If US GDP holds up better than expected and trends towards that 1.8% projection, the market will lean back. It'll lean back towards that US exceptionalism theme. Another key signal will come from inflation metrics like core PCE. If that moves closer to the Fed's comfort zone, well, that gives the central bank room to pause rate cuts and eventually signal an end to the easing cycle. When markets start to believe that the Fed is done cutting and forward curves begin to price in stable or even slightly higher long-term yields, well, that's when the dollar often finds its footing. Investors should also keep an eye on labor market data. If employment remains resilient rather than deteriorating, well, it reinforces the view that the U.S. economy can sustain moderate growth with lower inflation. A shift in communication tone from the Fed, from we're normalizing lower to we're monitoring upside risks, would be another important tell that the interest rate backdrop is turning more supportive for the dollar. On top of that, fiscal policy plays a pretty big role. If the One Big Beautiful Bill stimulus flows through as they claim it will and bolsters activity, stronger demand can then underpin both growth and rates, leading further support to the dollar. So as these pieces line up, resilient growth, an end to the cutting cycle, yield stabilization, nudging things higher, investors could begin migrating back into dollar-denominated assets, setting up the stage for a rebound in the currency. For markets, that means next year is likely to be marked by a lot of volatility. A weaker dollar into mid-2026, followed by a reversal as macro trend data and the Fed stance evolve. And that volatility has very real implications for major U.S. multinationals, especially those earning a large share of revenue overseas. When the dollar weakens, foreign sales translate back into more dollars on the income statement, which can provide a tailwind to reported earnings and margins, even if the underlying unit volumes are flat. The companies with significant international exposure in sectors like tech, consumer goods, industrials, often welcome this weaker dollar phase because it makes their exports more competitive, and it boosts translated revenues from foreign currencies. But as the dollar stabilizes and potentially strengthens towards the end of 26, that translation benefit can fade or even flip into a headwind, especially if markets are not pricing it in. A stronger dollar compresses the value of overseas earnings, and companies may need to lean more on cost discipline, pricing power, or buybacks to offset that FX drag on reported numbers. For investors, that means it's important to know which companies are naturally hedged through local costs and supply chains, and which ones are more exposed to currency swings and top line and bottom line data. Guidance season will become even more important as we head into next year. And because of all the changes that are possibly afoot, investors will need to pay particular attention. The big picture is the dollar's journey through 2026 is likely to mirror the broader economy. So everybody better buckle up and get ready. Give me a call. 888-99-CHART is the number, and I can't wait to take your question.
For the holidays, KPP Financial is excited to introduce the Holiday Estate Bundle. When you begin a financial relationship with KPP Financial and...
This year, give a gift that goes far beyond the moment. An Invest 529 account. Whether it's a child, grandchild, or someone just starting out, you're helping them save for education that could open doors for a lifetime. Invest 529 is a tax-advantaged way to save for college, trade school, or even apprenticeship programs. It's flexible, easy to start, and you can contribute any amount, big or small. You can even invite your friends and family to join in, making it a meaningful group gift. Each contribution helps build a brighter future, one deposit at a time. And because the money can grow tax-free, it's a gift that really builds value over time. So instead of giving something that gets used up or set aside, give the gift that can change a life. Start an Invest 529 account today. Go to invest529.com to get started.
Complete your onboarding by December 31st, 2025. You'll receive essential estate planning documents as an added benefit. Learn more about the Holiday Estate Bundle now at investtalk.com. And while you're there, fill out a portfolio review to get started.
Hi, Justin or Luke. This is Matt in Miami. I just wanted to get your opinions on a medical play. I've been looking at two companies, Stryker, S-Y-K, and Intuitive Surgeries, I-S-R-G. For Stryker, I have really been looking at the numbers, and they look to be pretty fair valued right now. But I'm just wondering, like, what your entry point would be. And for Intuitive, they're a really good company. They have this thing called Da Vinci. I'm familiar with it in medical. It's a really neat operating robot. This one's a little more expensive, though, but I saw its historic average PE for 15 years was around 66, and it's like 76 right now. So I'm wondering, like, an entry point, maybe around $400 to $450 if it does have a pullback at some point. Would love to hear your take. Thank you so much.
It's a great question. These are two definitely interesting companies right now, just where the medical device space has been and really the growth opportunities. Now, the first one is Stryker, ticker S-Y-K, and they're a medical device company that really specializes in orthopedic implants for knees, shoulders, patient care equipment. So as, you know, you've seen an aging population, understandably, revenue has grown quite a bit. You see that from really December 2022 into this most upcoming year, from $18 billion projected to be $25 billion in revenue. That's really solid growth, even going back to 2019. That's 8.7% on an annualized basis. Margins also very good as well. EBITDA margins sitting at about 30, net margin at 21, return on equity sitting at about 24% is where it's projected to be this year. And it's also had a bit of a down year. Year to date, down 1.79%. Over the past 52 weeks, down 8.16%, and really pushing it towards a relative valuation that is below the average that we've seen over the past 5 years. Now, let's take a look at Intuitive Surgical. Now, Intuitive Surgical is, as the caller mentioned, a leading robotic-assisted surgery company. They have the Da Vinci robot. I know my sister, who's a surgeon, loves that darn thing. But it's a different story here, right? They're seeing more explosive growth, but less revenue, right? From $4.4 billion to about $9.9 billion this year. That's 13.3% annualized over that time period. You're seeing net income grow at 11% here. You're seeing a bit higher margins. It's more specialized. They are dominant within the surgical robot space. And because of that, you can see higher volatility. You can see them trading at higher multiples, 59.8 times price to forward-looking earnings, 12.1 times price to book value. And they're really focusing in on that core business, which for them is that surgical robot. And so it kind of comes down to, okay, what are you looking for here, right? I think that in general, Intuitive Surgical, a bit too expensive, right? This is very, very high, even though it's about where its average is. But it's incredibly expensive. It is predicated upon maintaining that substantial growth and adoption from a widespread array of hospitals, right? At a time when healthcare costs are exploding and people's primary concern is the rising cost of everything across the board. And so that's my real worry here for Intuitive Surgical. Now for Stryker, you know, it's a bit more of a boring business, but it has pretty positive demographic trends. It's trading underneath its range over the past 5 years from a relative valuation basis, but still in a bit of a pullback here. Technically, momentum-wise, not doing great. I think both of these I keep on my watch list for now, really for different reasons. Stryker, I wait to see a bit of a change in the trend that we've seen really going back to the beginning of this year. And for the other company, which is Intuitive Surgical, which I think is a great company, I think the product is great as well. I just think it's a bit too expensive. But I like where your head is. I think that medical devices, especially given population demographic changes is a good theme in which to invest. That is ticker SYK and ticker ISRG. Thanks for the call. Let's keep things moving and play two in a row.
Hi, this is Brayton from Thousand Oaks. I was just calling out so if I could get your analysis or advice on a company, Impig, I-M-P-I-N-G, and the symbol is P-I. Just hoping you could take a look at it and see if it was worth getting into and what a good price tag would be. I'll listen on the show. Thank you.
Okay, let's take a look at ticker P-I, which is Impig. And what Impig does is they are a U.S.-based technology company, so they specialize in RFID and wireless identification technology. Think tagging, tracking, supply chain logistics, not just tracking personal items, right? Physical objects, but supply chains as well. So something that could be very beneficial in a time when, well, maybe government trade barriers are rising. Maybe these governments have to start figuring out, you know, electronically where shipments are moving. Year to date, they're up about 9.41%. And revenue growth has been pretty fantastic going back to 2019, 19.1% on an annualized basis in that time period. Very small company, $4.7 billion market cap, very little debt, only $5.7 million in debt. Now, from an earnings perspective, well, they delivered stronger than expected earnings in Q3 2025, both on revenue and bottom line earnings. So that's something that we certainly like to see. Relative valuation, a bit murky here. Why? Well, because 2024 is the first year they have made money. In fact, EBITDA, even before interest, taxes, depreciation, amortization, their margin was 2.9% this year, projected to grow to 21.1%. And so you have a company that was growing explosively in terms of revenue, and now it's starting to make money, starting to become a bit more profitable. That's why relative valuation becomes a bit tricky here, right? Price to book value, 24 times. Price to cash flow, 83 times here. You know, I think my bigger concern is slowing growth. You saw this explosive growth, but now it's starting to slow. In fact, revenue projected to fall, it looks like, in 2024 into 2025. And so some of those key factors kind of starting to ease off a bit here. And so they're really focused here. Lightning focused in the same way that the last company was, right? In that they have this core product, these RFID chips, and they need broader dependence and adoption here to sustain what has been a dramatic, dramatic climb going back 5 years. So again, for me, I think there's a bit of volatility here that is just likely to come about, not just because of their core focus, but because they're a small cap that has a bit of trouble turning some of this revenue growth into bottom line net income. So another one that seems a bit expensive for me right now, that is Impig Inc., ticker PI. You know, if you've been paying attention, we often hear, especially now, that consumers are struggling and people are struggling. We see it in surveys. We see it in really a lot of surveys, but where we don't necessarily see it is in the data. New data from the University of Michigan shows consumer sentiment slid to 53.3 in December, and that's down pretty sharply from above 70 in January. In fact, it's hovering near its historic lows. Americans are ending the year feeling far gloomier about the economy, even though, at the same time, spending remains surprisingly resilient across many parts of the retail landscape. High prices, a softer job market, and anxiety over the president's tariffs have all weighed heavily on household confidence. And that's what really has been pushing sentiment back towards levels seen during major economic shocks. But at the same time, consumer spending is incredibly resilient. So they really haven't adjusted their spending towards how sentiment is anchoring their positions. A lot of that has to do with Americans not really being adjusted to these post-pandemic price levels. They still think about where things were 4, 5, 6 years ago, and they're struggling to accept what economists know, which is that prices tend to be sticky upward, meaning that when they climb and price levels climb, they don't really tend to come back down. The all-time low of 50 came in June of 2022. That was during the inflation spike, following Russia's invasion of the Ukraine. And readings this year came pretty close again when we had that tariff announcement. But despite this weak sentiment, where is it manifesting itself? Consumers are spending. Walmart, TJ Maxx, other retailers, they're reporting incredibly solid holiday season spending. So there's this disconnect between mood on one hand and behavior on the other. But again, when you look at top line data, it kind of sometimes muddies the picture here. Lower income households, they are clearly straining. They're clearly cutting back on everyday purchases to manage these rising rents, rising utilities, food costs. While wealthier consumers, well, they are starting to, or rather continuing to power ahead. Political identity is also shaping sentiment. Republicans report more optimism. Democrats and independents are kind of reversing that pattern a bit. But inflation today is far milder than it was in the 1970s, when people are really anchoring their idea of what an inflationary environment can be. What has changed, though, is constant media coverage, making it feel a bit worse, dragging sentiment below levels associated with more severe economic eras. For many households, this frustration is tangible, right? A hotel housekeeper, a janitor, somebody who tends to be on the lower income stream, they know that they are doing a lot more with less. One encouraging sign is expectations. Consumers now anticipate 4.1% inflation into year end. That sounds high, but it's down from 4.5% in November and marks the fourth month of improvement and a step towards restored confidence. Either way, sentiment eventually has to meet reality. Either investors come to terms with where prices are, or rather spenders, consumers come to terms with where prices are, or they start to pare back spending in a way that is felt at the corporate level. All right, it looks like we got plenty of time, so let's play another voicemail now.
I'm Matt from Illinois. I'm 26 years old and recently started investing in Fidelity Zero Fee Large Cap Index Fund, ticker FNILX. I plan on incrementally investing around 60% of my portfolio into this fund, and I plan on splitting the remaining 40% evenly into a low-fee small cap index fund and an international index fund. I was wondering if you think this is a solid approach as a long-term 30-plus year investment strategy. Thank you, guys, and I look forward to hearing your thoughts on the show.
Yeah, it's a great question. Fidelity has these zero large cap index funds and they have zero fees, and it brings people into the Fidelity ecosystem. Maybe they start to custody their assets at Fidelity, then they start to invest in other Fidelity funds. It brings people in, it furthers business down the line. It's kind of like the rotisserie chickens at Costco, right? Loss leaders, bringing new customers in. Now, I love that you're thinking about this. You're thinking about long-term asset allocation, which is one of the most important parts of constructing a portfolio and having a starting point with this Fidelity Zero Large Cap Fund. And is this an international fund or just US? It looks like it's predominantly a US fund, though you get a bit of revenue exposure elsewhere, but all the companies are US companies. 60%, that means that you're tilting more towards small and mid caps than the market is, right? Because an overwhelming majority of the market cap in the United States globally is predominantly large cap. So I like, first and foremost, that you are tilting towards those areas that historically have performed better over longer periods of time, which, judging from your question, how you sounded, how you phrased it, certainly you have a long investment horizon. Another thing I like is that you're reaching outside the United States. We've seen this year that international stocks have done a lot better than they have in the previous 10 years. There's a lot that goes into that. Investors moving away from a change in policy related to tariffs, related to trade. Investors seeking to move towards non-dollar denominated assets. Regardless of what's causing it, returns internationally have been very solid this year, meaning that now more than ever, having international exposure is to the benefit of investors everywhere. Now, what I'm not hearing is commodities exposure. Now, you'll certainly get some of that from the companies that you're investing in, but gold has been one of the best returning assets over the past year and change. Why? Because of these changing dynamics. So I like where your mind is starting. I think that's a great starting place, but realize that as you change, as you age, as markets shift, then your asset allocation can shift as well. So don't be closed-minded. It doesn't sound like you are. A great starting point for your portfolio you have. Thanks for the call. Let's try and make it two in a row. We might not be able to answer the question, but we can at least get to the voicemail now.
Hi, I'm Kay calling from New York. Just want to ask about your take on the JETS, looking to hold this for the next couple of decades, and just want your look. Thank you.
It's actually our third one in a row. Looks like we're getting to a lot of questions here. Let's ticker JETS. It is the U.S. Global Jets ETF. What does the U.S. Global Jets ETF do? Well, it invests in all cap companies of both U.S. and international passenger airline industry, including manufacturers, airport companies, all across the board for airline and air travel. $786 million, 60 basis points expense ratio, top holdings, Southwest Airlines, American Airlines, Delta Airlines. That's just a little bit of information on the U.S. Global Jets ETF. When we come back, we will dive into this ETF. We'll dive into an understanding about the sector and try and figure out if this is right for the caller's portfolio and if it may be right for yours. This is Invest Talk. I'm Lou Guerrero. We have one goal here: to help you achieve your financial freedom. Our work continues after our final break. So get your questions in now at 888-99-CHART.
Luke Guerrero is here and ready to tackle your questions.
I wanted to pick your brain about Apple. What did you think about their earnings call? Is this a good time to add to my position?
Call Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART.
Are you worried about what your tax bill will look like this year? As we head into the final weeks of 2025, now is a good time to get proactive. And you can do that by joining Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero for the upcoming Invest Talk Wealth Webinar. Year-End Tax Toolkit, RMD Planning, Tax Laws Harvesting, and Deferral Strategies. This hour-long session is your chance to get their expert insights on navigating the complexities of year-end tax planning. Justin and Luke will cover everything from managing those mandatory RMDs to using tax laws harvesting to offset gains to effective income deferral techniques. Mark your calendar for Tuesday, December 9th from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Pacific Time. The Wealth Webinar is free, but you must pre-register at investtalk.com. Hurry, the Wealth Webinar is tomorrow.
JETS, rather, the U.S. Global Jets ETF, 60 basis points to essentially buy airlines. Businesses that, if you've ever listened to Justin, and I tend to agree with him here, are frankly horrible businesses to own. Very expensive, very cyclical, easy answer, pass. Now, before we head off for the day, I want to talk a little bit about a change that maybe you are all feeling, because gift givers aren't necessarily trudging through stores or scrolling endlessly anymore. A growing number are outsourcing the hunt to artificial intelligence. Chatbots are quickly becoming personal shopping assistants. They offer curated lists, product comparisons, direct purchasing options. And this is really helping, or rather being targeted towards, younger consumers. Surveys are showing 2/3 of shoppers in wealthy economies plan to use AI for holiday buying. McKinsey expects $3 to $5 trillion of global shopping to be routed through agents, these AI agents, by the year 2030. AI firms see retail as their next major disruption. OpenAI struck a deal with Etsy and Shopify. Google is pushing agentic tools that can check inventory, track prices, place orders. Retailers aren't happy, though. They're fighting to protect their direct relationships with customers. Amazon has blocked AI crawlers and is suing Perplexity for allegedly scraping its site under false pretenses. Others are embracing the shift, though. Walmart allows purchasing directly through ChatGPT, and they're seeing a meaningful share of new customer visits coming from chatbot referrals. Retail leaders admit the old model is broken. It's outdated. Consumers say they prefer retailer-built assistance over these third-party tools because they lack personalization. They lack accurate data. Even so, AI performance, it varies by category. Bots excel at products with clear specifications like electronics or appliances, but stumble badly in subjective areas, taste-based sectors like fashion. And monetization will only bring new tensions. Walmart is already testing ads in its AI assistant. Google plans to bring advertising to Gemini, a shift that could erode consumer trust in AI recommendations. And so behind the scenes, brands are scrambling. They're trying to master this generative engine optimization. They're tweaking language. They're using metadata so chatbots surface their products instead of competitors. And companies are discovering they must appear in the news, blogs, fresh online content that AI agents rely on. And so here is really the meat of the story, right? A couple things here. One, your experience is likely to change. You are going to be fed ads in fundamentally new ways. But as an investor, you should be seeking out those retail companies, those brands, those publicly traded companies that understand the new reality of how consumers are going to get products. Look for companies that are investing in this agentic engine optimization, because those are the companies that will profit from the future. I'm Luke Guerrero, and this completes another Invest Talk program. Justin and I thank you for listening, and we encourage you to tell your friends and family members about our free podcast downloads. You can find those at iTunes or Spotify. And while you're at it, why don't you go over and check out our YouTube channel that is Invest Talk with two T's. Not only do we have all our old webinars there, we also have YouTube-specific content and a little bit of a different breakdown of our show. Speaking of webinars, final reminder, our latest wealth webinar on taxes is set for tomorrow. If that is interesting to you, head over to investtalk.com. You have to register, although it is free. As always, if today's show made you think about your own financial picture, your investments, your retirements, and whether it all makes sense, Justin and I would love to speak with you. We offer free, no-cost portfolio reviews. They are confidential, and we do it for investors such as yourselves each and every day. Head over to investtalk.com to schedule a call. Independent thinking, shared success. This is Invest Talk. Good night.
Invest Talk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.